It is our joy to gather this evening and to worship our triune God. I was telling the residents over at the pavilion, we had a 4 o'clock service over at the pavilion nursing home next door. I was telling them that, you know, at Christmas time, you never know what you're going to see. As we were driving over from our home to the pavilion, we passed Santa Claus riding on a motorcycle. His beard just waving, and it was great. It was great. You never know what you're going to see. You know, the greatest thing we can see at Christmas is Jesus. And the way we see Jesus is by looking in to the book that tells us about him. God the Father loves us so much that he's given us a book. He led people years and years ago to write down truths by the inspiration of his Spirit about his Son. And he loves us so much that he has preserved this book through the church for 2,000 years that we might, even this night, see his Son. That's how much he loves his Son. Some of you are grandparents or parents, maybe even great-grandparents, and you love to show off pictures of your grandchildren or great-grandchildren or your children. How much more the Heavenly Father loves to show off his Son. And the way he does it is through the Scriptures. So let's look at God's Son, the incarnate Word, as he's revealed to us in the written Word, as it comes to us from the Gospel of John. And we're going to be focusing this evening primarily on verse 18 of John, the first chapter of John's Gospel, which concludes what we call the prologue to his Gospel. But we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 1. Remember, these are the words that God the Father has given us by the inspiration of his Spirit to show us his Son. John wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to Him once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your written Word, inspired by Your Spirit, that tells us about the incarnate Word, anointed by Your Spirit, who came to save us from our sins. Grant us Your Spirit to illumine our minds, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ as He is revealed on the pages of Scripture. And grant us open hearts that we might receive Him even this night and know Him as Savior and Lord and friend. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, if you've been with us for our Advent series here at Ballantyne Presbyterian Church, you know that we've been making our way through the prologue of John's Gospel. We consider from the first five verses Jesus, the Word of God. And then from verses 6 through 8, we considered John, a witness to the light. And then in verses 9 through 13, we considered Jesus, the light of the world, the light that shines in the darkness and that is not overcome by the darkness of this fallen world. In verses 14 through 17, we considered just yesterday morning, Jesus, the Word made flesh. This evening, we consider the end of John's prologue, verse 18, Jesus in the bosom of the Father. And we'll say more about that title in a moment. But I want us to consider this theme under two headings this evening. First, Jesus' relationship with His Heavenly Father. And second, our relationship with Jesus and through Him with His Heavenly Father, and by grace, our Heavenly Father. Christianity is the religion of relationships. And we're going to consider something of that dynamic this evening. First, Jesus' relationship with His Heavenly Father. As you may have noticed, as we read John's prologue, verse 18 is not the first time that John speaks of Jesus' relationship with His Heavenly Father. In fact, you may have noticed that he began his prologue, he begins his gospel talking about that amazing relationship. In verse 1, again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God, that is the Son of God, about whom we read in verse 14, who became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word of God has been eternally with God. In other words, God the Son has always been with God the Father. God's always been a Father. He's always had a Son. The word translated as with in verse 1, as we've mentioned already in our Advent series, could be translated as towards. In other words, the Father and the Son have enjoyed for all eternity a face-to-face relationship with one another in the Holy Spirit. Within the Godhead, Scripture reveals the amazing truth that there is a perfect, loving, eternal Father-Son relationship. Now, I'm blessed to have sons. And we often speak of our time together as father-son time or father-son's time, whether we're playing tennis or watching a football game or praying together. Father-son time or father-son's time. Within the Godhead, there has always been father-son time. Precious, treasured father-son time. Perfect fellowship between the Father and the Son in the Spirit. A relationship unhindered by sin. Even the best human fathers and even the best human sons, our relationships can go awry. There can be friction, there can be tension Because, to get right to the point, there's this thing called pride. You ever heard of it? The best fathers on the earth, the best sons on the earth, best daughters on the earth, best mothers on the earth, we're all stricken with this thing called sin. And so even our best relationships are not perfect. There's not a single soul who's ever perfectly loved father or mother, son or daughter. But in the Godhead, there is this perfect relationship, the perfect father-son relationship, unhindered by sin, a relationship of perfect light and life and love. John uses very expressive language to describe that relationship in verse 18. Again, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. He describes Jesus as being at the Father's side. That's a weak translation. A more literal translation would be in the bosom of the Father. That is the chest or the seat of one's emotional life, the core of one's being. We sometimes speak of friends as bosom friends or bosom buddies because of the closeness of that relationship. The NIV translates in the bosom of the Father as in closest relationship with the Father. The New Living Translation translates it as near to the Father's heart. God the Son has a uniquely intimate relationship with God the Father. Thus John says, no one, that is no one other than God the Son, has ever seen God. Now to understand this, we must look back at verse 17 and notice that John mentions Moses there. You may remember that Moses had asked to see God, to behold the fullness of his glory. And God did not grant Moses' request, at least not the way that, the exact way that Moses had anticipated. In mercy, God said to Moses, "No one may see me and live." Moses was a sinner, just like all of us are sinners. And if he were to see God in all his glory, he would have been consumed. He would have been condemned. And so rather than showing Moses his unveiled glory, God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. And God passed by Moses so that Moses could see a glimpse, a sort of toned down version of the glory of God. And God declared to him his glory by proclaiming to him his covenant name. And by declaring to him his covenant love, saying, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Even Moses, God's appointed leader and mediator for Israel, even Moses was not able to see the full glory of God. Only God's Son has fully seen God's glory. As Jesus said in John 6 and verse 46, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from the Father. Only he has seen the Father." So in order for us to really see what God is like, God's own Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, being sent from the Father, became one of us to reveal God's glory to us in our humanity in a way that would not condemn us, but rather save us. Whereas Moses saw the shadows, we see the real thing, the reality, the fullness of God's glory in Jesus Christ. John says, the only God, some manuscripts say the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. More literally, he has exegeted him. That is, Jesus interprets for us. Jesus translates for us. Jesus expounds to us. He explains to us in a way that we can grasp by faith who God is. Only through Jesus do we see how deep is the Father's love for us, how amazing His grace, how compassionate His fatherly care. So first, Jesus' relationship with His Heavenly Father. And second, our relationship with Jesus. And through Him, with His Heavenly Father. And by grace, our Heavenly Father. Now, over the last few weeks, I've been spending time in the prologue of John and thinking through the way it fits with the whole of John's Gospels. We'll be moving on into the rest of the Gospel in the new year, Lord willing, continuing a series in the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings here. I saw the language of verse 18, a portion of verse 18, repeated in a place that I'd never noticed before. Isn't that wonderful? How when you read Scripture, God's always showing you new things, things that you had missed, or maybe connections that you hadn't seen before. And I heard the language of verse 18, a phrase in it, later on in John's Gospel. In John chapter 13 and verse 23, we read something that bears a striking resemblance to what we have seen in verse 18 of chapter 1. The scene in chapter 13 is the night on which our Lord was betrayed, the night before He went to offer Himself on the altar of Calvary for our sins, the night in which He washed the disciples' feet, the night in which He gave a new commandment, to love one another as I have loved you. And it's the night He instituted the Lord's Supper. And so here's the scene. It's the Last Supper. And in verse 23 of chapter 13, John writes, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. More literally, there was reclining one of His disciples in the bosom of Jesus, the one whom Jesus loved. So, John the Apostle was resting his head on the chest of his best friend. And as he puts it here, he was in the bosom of Jesus. So in John 13, 23, we have John, Jesus' bosom friend, in the bosom of Jesus. In John 1, 18, we see Jesus in the bosom of the Father. Friends, the good news for us on this Christmas Eve, the good news of the Incarnation is this. When you lean upon Jesus in faith, when through faith Jesus Christ becomes your bosom friend, He takes you with Him into the bosom of His Heavenly Father. into his friendship, into his fellowship, into his adopting and unrelenting fatherly love. Through faith in Jesus, his virgin birth, his faithful life, his sacrificial death, where he took upon himself in our flesh on the cross. He took upon himself our sins. All of our sins. Every last one of them. Every one you've ever committed. Every one you've committed today. Every one you'll ever commit. If you're trusting in Jesus, it means he took upon himself every single sin you've ever committed. The sinless one, the one about whom the Father's voice echoed, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." This Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin for us, our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him by simply reaching out in childlike faith and embracing the gift of gifts, the gift of Jesus. Anyone who receives him, John says in his prologue, anyone who receives him will be given the right, the authority to become a child of God. He's the gift of gifts. Maybe you've gotten a wonderful gift for somebody and you're excited for them to open it. Well, now think of God the Father. Think of God the Father gives his Son to you wrapped in your flesh. And he says, "What will you do with my gift? Will you love my gift? Will you receive my gift? Will you open my gift by faith? And through my gift, will you know me as your Father? And eternal life through my Son." The gift of gifts. Between the pavilion service and this service, one of the young children of the church, one of the children of the church came up to me and said, "Dr. Nance, I have a present for you." And so I said, "Thank you very much." I didn't open it in front of him, but when I got to my office, I opened it. It's a baseball card of Mickey Mantle. I've been wondering how I was going to pay for college for my sons. Now, just kidding. How thoughtful. Think of the thoughtfulness. Think of how much thought went into the gift that the Father has given us in the gift of his Son. His thoughts toward us in that gift are too many to number. That's how much he loves you. Don't miss what he's done for us this Christmas. Don't miss what Christ has done for us in his incarnation. The Westminster Larger Catechism puts it well. You say, "That sounds kind of dry and stuffy." Well, just listen. The Westminster Larger Catechism. Listen to what it says. They ask this question: how did Christ humble himself in his conception and birth? It answers: Christ humbled himself in his conception and birth in that being from all eternity the Son of God in the bosom of the Father, it pleased him in the fullness of time to become the Son of Man, born of a woman from a poor family and into conditions that were even worse than ordinary. in the humility of his incarnation, death, and burial, Christ came down to us from the bosom of the Father. In his resurrection and ascension, he takes us up into the bosom of the Father. His Father, through what Christ has done for us, becomes our Father. And this takes place through the faith and is enjoyed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We experience loving communion with the Father through His incarnate Son and by His Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. He had nothing greater to give us. God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive, in other words, what's Christmas all about? Here it is. So that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Echoing what Jesus has been saying in the bosom of the Father for eternity. Abba, Father. We now, through Christ, in the bosom of the Heavenly Father, say, Abba, Father. And Paul says, so you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave under the condemnation of the law. If you're trusting in Christ, what are you? But a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is what Christmas is all about. The Son of God becoming one of us so that we might become sons and daughters of God through Him. That's what it's about. Southern Presbyterian minister here in the Carolinas in the 19th century, John L. Girardeau, described the intimacy with which we know the Father through Jesus, through faith in Jesus, simple childlike faith in Jesus. He put it this way. The servant, with hat in hand, stands at a respectful distance, awaiting the orders of his master. But the child of God, rushes into the presence of his Father, leaps into his lap, and nestles in his bosom. May each of us, each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest here tonight, may each and every one of us, through faith, simple childlike faith, you tell Jesus this, you already know what I've done. That's what you say to him. You already know what I've done. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against my neighbor time and time and time and time again. And so, Jesus, I'm asking you to save me, not because I deserve it, but because I know you are gracious, and you bestow grace upon grace upon grace through your shed blood to anyone who looks to you in childlike faith. I heard a preacher say that, and I believe what he said, and I'm coming to you, Lord Jesus, and I'm trusting in you on this Christmas Eve. I'm trusting that you died for my sins and you were raised up victoriously that I might have eternal life with you and with your Father by your Spirit. I'm trusting in you, Jesus. You tell him that. And he will in no way cast you away. He never casts away anybody that says that to him. He will receive you and he'll present you to his Father and he will fill you with his Spirit and you will have the best Christmas ever because you'll know the one about whom Christmas tells in the great story of his coming. May each of us, through faith in God's precious Son, have and enjoy that indescribably close, intimate, loving, accepting, nurturing, life-transforming relationship with the Heavenly Father this Christmas and always. Let's look to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You that You did not spare Your own Son, but You gave Him up for us all. And with Him, You freely give us all things. Freely give faith by Your Spirit this night, that all here might believe in Your Son. We thank You for the good news that though the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May each of us know that free gift and be set free from sin and condemnation, even this night. May we fall in love with the Savior. May we lay our head upon His bosom. May we rest upon Him in faith and thus know His relationship with You by Your Spirit of adoption. May this be true, joyfully so, in each and every heart here tonight. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.